In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I am a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is Monday, October 14th, 2024. And for our scripture readings today, we have two sections, one from Ephesians and one from Luke. For our readings from the lives of the saints, we have martyrs Gervasius, Nazarius, Protasius, and Celis of Milan, the venerable Paraskevi Petka of Serbia, the venerable Nicholas Sviatosha, prince of Chernigov, and wonder worker of the Kiev near caves. Starting with Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Unto Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 22. And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, Who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say, One of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, The Christ of God. And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Our first readings from the from the lives of the saints, martyrs Gervasius, Nazarius, Protasius, and Celis of Milan. The holy martyrs Nazarius, Gervasius, Protasius, and Celis of Milan suffered during the reign of the Emperor Nero, 54 through 68. Saint Nazarius, son of the Christian Perpetua and the Jew Africanus, was born at Rome and was baptized by Bishop Linus. From his youth, Nazarius decided to devote his life to preaching Christ and to aid wandering Christians. With this intent, he left Rome and arrived in Mediolanum, which is Milan. Saints Protasius and Gervasius were twin brothers from Mediolanum, Milan, the sons of wealthy Roman citizens, Vitalius and Valeria. When they received their inheritance from their parents, they distributed the money to the poor, freed their slaves, and occupied themselves with fasting and prayer. The pagans locked them up in prison because they were Christians. Saint Nazarius met Protasius and Gervasius when he was visiting Christians in the Mediolanum prison. He so loved the twins that he wanted to suffer and die with them. The ruler heard that he was visiting the prisoners, so he had Saint Nazarius beaten with rods, then driven from the city. Saint Nazarius proceeded to Gaul, modern France, and there he successfully preached Christianity and converted many pagans. In the city of Kemel, he baptized Celsus, the son of a Christian woman who entrusted her child to the saint. Nazarios raised the boy in piety and acquired a faithful disciple and co-worker in his missionary labors. The pagans threw the saints to wild animals to be eaten, but the beasts would not touch them. Afterwards, they tried to drown the martyrs in the sea, but they walked upon the water as if on dry land. The soldiers who carried out the orders were so amazed that they themselves accepted Christianity and released the holy martyrs. Saints Nazarios and Celsus went to Milan and visited Gervasios and Protasios in prison. For this, they were brought before Nero, who ordered the saints Nazarios and Celsus to be beheaded. Soon after this, the holy brothers Gervasios and Protasios were also executed. The relics of all four martyrs were stolen by a Christian named Philip and were buried in his house. Many years later, during the reign of Holy Emperor Theodosius, 408 through 450, St. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, discovered the relics of St. Gervasios and Protasios through a revelation from God. In the reign of Arcadius and Honorius, St. Ambrose also discovered the relics of St. Nazarios and Celsus. The holy relics, glorified by many healings, were solemnly transferred to the Milan Cathedral. Our next reading is Venerable Paraskevi Petka of Serbia. St. Paraskevi the New was born into a pious family, living during the 11th century in the village of Epivato, between Silistra and Constantinople. Her older brother Eusemius became a monk, and later he was consecrated as Bishop of Matidia. One day, while attending the divine services, the words of the Lord pierced her heart like an arrow. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." That's Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. From that time she began to distribute her clothing to the needy, for which reason she endured much grief from her family. Upon the death of her parents, the saint was tonsured into monasticism at the age of 15. She withdrew to the Jordanian desert, where she lived the ascetic life until she reached the age of 25. An angel of the Lord ordered her to return to her homeland, so she stayed at Epivato for 2 years. St. Paraskevi departed to the Lord at the age of 27 and was buried near the sea. Because of the many miracles which took place at her grave, her relics were uncovered and found to be incorrupt. They were placed in the Church of the Holy Apostles at Epivato, where they remained for about 175 years. St. Paraskevi's relics were moved to Tarnovo, Bulgaria, in 1223. And placed in the cathedral. Patriarch Euthymius wrote her life and established the day of her commemoration as October 14th. The Turks occupied Bulgaria in 1391, and her relics were given to Mircea the Elder, Prince of the Romanian Land, one of the districts of Romania. In 1394, the relics were given to Princess Angelina of Serbia, who brought them to Belgrade. For 120 years, St. Paraskevi's relics rested in Constantinople in Patriarchal Cathedral. On June 13, 1641, her incorrupt relics were transferred to the Monastery of the Three Hierarchs at Jassy in Romania, where many healings took place. On December 26, 1888, after being rescued from a fire, St. Paraskevi's relics were moved again. This time they were placed in the new cathedral at Jassy, where they remained until the present day. And our last one here, the Venerable Nicholas Sviatosha, Prince of Chernigov and Wonder Worker of the Kiev Near Caves. Saint Nicholas Sviatosha, Prince of Chernigov and Wonder Worker of the Kiev Caves, Near Caves, was a great-grandson of Prince Yaroslav the Wise and son of Prince David Sviatoslavich of Chernigov. Nicholas was the Prince of Lutsk, and he had a wife and children. His daughter was later married to the Novgorod Prince Saint Vesvolod Gabriel. On February 17th, 1106, the holy prince left his family and was tonsured at the Kiev Caves Monastery. Nicholas Sviatosha carried out his obediences with great humility. For 3 years he worked in the kitchen, for which he chopped wood and carried water. For the next 3 years he was a gatekeeper at the monastery. The saint had a garden around his cell. Out of his own means he built at the monastery the Temple of the Holy Trinity and the infirmary church in the name of St. Nicholas, his patron saint. St. Nicholas was the first of the Russian princes to accept monasticism, patiently enduring the reproaches of his brothers for his decision to leave a life of humble obedience. The saint's doctor, Peter, pointed out to the royal ascetic that such exploits of obedience had injured his health. But suddenly the doctor himself fell sick and was healed only by the prayer of St. Nicholas. Then Peter himself was tonsured. After he had progressed through various obediences, St. Nicholas took upon himself the vow of silence. When the saint received money, he used it to beautify the church and to procure books, because he loved reading, or he distributed it to the poor. St. Nicholas was a zealous peacemaker. In 1142, he reconciled the Prince of Chernigov with the great Prince Vsevolod. Soon after the death of the saint, his brother, Prince Izyaslav, fell grievously ill. The ikumen of the monastery sent the sick man to the saint's hair. Sent the sick man the saint's hair shirt. Izyaslav put it on and was healed. One comment, probably unnecessary but interesting to me, because he was a prince and he joined the monastery. Patiently enduring the reproaches of his brothers for his decision to leave a life of humble obedience. It reminded me of, I had some long conversations with a monk, which he didn't have a very good reputation in the locality, just from the churches I've attended and talked with other members of the clergy and the laity. But he was, I think he actually used the word stupid. He's like, oh, it's stupid to become a monk or something. Because I had just spent a lot of time caring for my father, almost 10 years. And his struggle with Parkinson's. And I was looking into monasticism at that time after his death. And, it was sort of funny to get that reproach from a monk, and I just to see the same thing happened hundreds of years ago, or I should say almost thousands of years ago, more than 1,000 years ago. Or wait, no. Sorry, it's 1142. 1106, yeah, that's still just hundreds. But anyway, it's sort of funny to see that the brethren are like, you're silly. You can be free, and yet you put this obedience that we put upon ourselves on yourself. And even after he did it. Interesting. Anyway, what a world. So may the Lord guide us in the right way, and have mercy on our souls. All glory goes to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. And unto the ages of ages. Amen.